Just to get us started, would you mind telling me a little bit about yourself and your work and your role in the No On 110 campaign?
Right. So my name is Mike Marshall. I'm the executive director of Oregon Recovers, which is the only statewide recovery community advocacy organization in the state. And we're comprised of people like myself who are in long-term recovery, our friends and family, and then the treatment providers and certified alcohol and drug counselors and the addiction doctors and everything else. We have about 50 organizations that support our work and annually have about 2,500 people participate in our policy roundtables, our walks for recovery, our summits. And our mission is to transform the existing fractured and incomplete addiction recovery system into a recovery-oriented continuum of care.
Some say it seems a little counterintuitive for you folks to come out against Measure 110, which is meant to decriminalize most misdemeanor drug offenses and reallocate marijuana tax revenue into a grant program meant to
Right.
strengthen and expand health-centered approaches to drug treatment. Could you tell me what made you folks decide to come out against Measure 110?
Right. So Oregon Recovers has spent the last 3 years building a coalition of folks advocating for profound systems change and more money into the system. So you're right. You would think that we would support this, but the fact that we don't should make everyone pause and understand that it's not what it appears to be. First of all, decriminalizing drugs for both adults and children at the same time, prior to actually creating a pathway to recovery for them, means that people will have treatment cut off from them, both children and adults, and immediately the overdose rates will go up. And it's not unlike 40 years ago when advocates pushed to close the mental hospitals because they didn't think they were, and they weren't, achieving their purpose, but they did so before building up a healthcare system that could deal with folks with mental health issues. And so instead of pushing them into the healthcare system, we push them out onto the streets. And that's what Measure 110 does. It cuts off a pathway to recovery for those folks who the healthcare system has failed the most. So they've ended up engaging in criminal activity, which has led to them being charged with possession. Nobody should be criminalized for their addiction, but until we build up a healthcare system that intervenes farther upstream so that our doctors and our nurses and our social workers and our teachers all have the tools and the capacity to intervene in someone's drug or alcohol use, then just cutting off a pathway to a treatment center is not the way to go.
Yeah. Just to make it clear for listeners, what exactly is that specific pathway that would be cut off? Is that
Right.
through the courts or hospitals or what?
Yeah, through courts. So right now, if you're charged with possession of a misdemeanor, you have access then to go to drug court, and a judge can send you to treatment and put you at the front of the line. We have very long treatment waiting lists, but you can get to the front of the line if a drug if a drug court judge assigns you there, or you can just stay in the criminal justice system, which in most cases in Oregon means you get probation. Nobody goes to jail anymore for just simple possession. But what's important is, and so by taking it from a misdemeanor to a violation, the money allocated to those drug courts are no longer can be spent on that person who only gets a violation. So what you're going to have is kids getting a ticket instead of access to treatment because they were caught with meth or heroin, whatever the case may be. On top of that, because it's a violation, a ticket, most counties don't inform parents when a child gets a ticket. So all of a sudden, you're going to have a kid caught with drugs and not be given a pathway to treatment, and parents are not going to know about it. And that is the wrong way to approach it. Let's instead first build up our healthcare system to be able to intervene with that child before they get a ticket or get arrested. It's putting the cart before the horse.
The approach that the current system has is still puts people into contact with the criminal justice system, which is known to be much more punitive towards Black and brown communities. And a lot of people say that even having contact with that system from an early age in particular can saddle people with more issues that hinder their recovery process, like not being having great access to how not being able to have access to housing, trouble getting a job because they have a record or misdemeanors or even felonies on their record. What do you say to people who bring up that point as well.
No, I think it's extremely valid. The problem is that healthcare system is equally defined by systemic racism. And so the goal here is to get people healthy and then to work it backwards in terms of both expunging the and mitigating the those past impacts mm-hmm. and preventing them from happening in the future. But if someone's dead, you can't help them. And so, you know, in recovery, we have a concept of, would you rather be right? Or would you rather be happy? Mm-hmm. And Measure 110 is about the Drug Policy Alliance in New York and now Mark Zuckerberg, for some reason, wanting to be right. They want to take this and go to another state where the legislature has not done as much work on decriminalization as we've done here in Oregon and win. There's a reason no state has fully decriminalized drugs. And it's primarily because only since the Affordable Care Act have we begun to integrate addiction recovery into the healthcare system. And we're just not there yet. So this notion of trying to prevent people of color from having to interact with the criminal justice system, I totally agree. But cutting off their pathway to treatment and recovery is not the way to do that. Mm-hmm. And the other part of this that's so lacking is nobody in Oregon is going to go to jail today because they have meth or heroin in their pocket. Now, oftentimes when people interact with the criminal justice system and are found out possession, it's because they got in a fight, they broke into a car, they had all these co-occurring crimes that are relative to their addiction. Mm-hmm. And way the current intervention system is set up is, at least at this point in Oregon, judges have the discretion and the resources to say, you go to treatment, I'll not only expunge the possession charge, but I'll also expunge your breaking and entering charge, your theft charge, whatever the case may be. You take away the drug charge, and those courts can no longer do that. So you may very well see more people incarcerated for property crimes than was previously the case because they had a co-occurring possession charge. Mm-hmm. So I don't disagree that interacting with the criminal justice system is much different for people of color than it is for me, but the solution is not to just cut off their access to treatment and recovery, and because they're still going to get a violation, and the violation is only going to occur once they're interacting with the criminal justice person, right? Taking away that hook, that ability to get people into treatment and recovery is really important. I used meth for 10 years, and because of my white privilege, I was never arrested, but I bet had I been, I would have gotten sober sooner and my life would have improved sooner if I hadn't lived the privileged life I had. If I had been arrested, I'm much more likely to have gotten into recovery much sooner than I did, because when I was using, I didn't want to be sober.
Thank you for that. What is the missing link in your opinion then to get maybe more preventative treatment, as opposed to what the measure proposes, which is to reallocate marijuana funds in order to fund existing organizations that are providing that treatment or that like interventive care or supportive care, like housing assistance, job assistance, and things like that? What would be like a better use of those funds?
So first of all, those funds should stay in our schools and our county mental health programs. We don't need cannabis money. What we need is to increase the price of alcohol. Alcohol kills 5 times more people than drug overdoses and is a much larger contributor to the addiction crisis. Most people start to use alcohol before they use drugs. Underage drinking, as opposed to underage drug use, is much more significant. So we have not raised the beer or wine tax since the late 70s, and we have the lowest beer tax in the country. Mm-hmm. So there is legislation in 2021, and the governor has included in her budget as well, to increase the price of alcohol, which will reduce harmful consumption amongst underage drinkers and binge drinkers, which are the two most expensive alcohol consumers relative to foster care, crime, you know, homelessness, things like that. Those lead to those expensive public policy and health issues. So raise the price of alcohol, reduce consumption. If we raise the price of alcohol 20% across the board, that will generate upwards of $750 million to put into the system of care that the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission has spent the last 3 years designing, mm-hmm. that was delivered in February to the governor and the legislature. So there has been an arc of reform that has been taking place for 3 years. The Drug Policy Alliance in New York didn't want any part of, because they, you said that we want the same thing, and I would disagree with that. They want to win decriminalization, which no other state has done this. Oregon would be the first, and you have to ask your question, why would we do that when we have the third highest addiction rate, when we rank last in access to treatment? But more importantly,
I think the point, it seems like the point to me for the Yes campaign would be that decriminalizing would free up funds, basically spend less money punishing people for something they've already done and put more funds into supportive care, which is preventative.
That's a misrepresentation. Most people today are not punished for possession of small amounts of drugs. They are if they're dealing, but that virtually every one of them is offered a pathway to treatment. If they choose not to do that, odds are they're put on probation. Nobody, this notion that everyone's being imprisoned because of their drug possession is just not correct. Two-thirds of the inmates in the, you know, like 10,500 of the 14,000 people that are incarcerated in our prisons in Oregon have a substance use disorder diagnosis that merits treatment that they're not receiving treatment for. So we don't have a crime problem. We have a drug and alcohol problem, but they're not incarcerated because of drug possession. They're incarcerated for these much more significant crimes that they committed after a trajectory of increased drug and alcohol use, and probably multi-generational drug and alcohol use. So instead of diverting important cannabis tax revenue away from the schools and the county mental health programs that the voters intended it for, our solution here needs to be, in the next session, raising the price of alcohol to reduce harmful alcohol consumption. And then it will generate probably 10 times the amount of revenue that Measure 110 ultimately will direct into the system. So we need to be thoughtful. We need to come at this from a public health lens and not just a criminal justice lens, which is what the advocates for 110 are actually doing, and recognize that until we build a new system of care within the healthcare system, that the net effect of taking away access to treatment via the criminal justice system is to throw people out onto the streets, not to help them get them into recovery. Now, they won't necessarily have a criminal record, but they may very well be dead as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's a great place to wrap up. Thank you so much, Mike, for your time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you really appreciate it.